I'm going to ask a question, and that question will be the title of this lesson. And that question is, what is your attitude towards the truth? We have attitudes about everything. We have views about everything. But the question is, what is your attitude about the truth? Now, this word truth can be any truth, anybody's truth. But what we're looking at is God's truth. And that is what we should have a firm attitude towards, the truth of God. Many people do not have that attitude concerning God. And we know that. And so I want to give a few definitions of what someone says truth is. The first couple of definitions come from man. Dictionary.com and all of these other things that are out there. They say truth, the true or actual state of a matter, conformity with facts or reality, variant, a verified or indisputable fact, proposition, principle, or the like. The state or character of being true. Now, some of those go along with what Strong's and Thayer's definition is. And one of the things that I thought was always comical is when you look at definitions, they really don't tell you a whole lot. For example, off the top of my head, happy. The definition is happy. What is it? What are they trying to say? Well, Strong says true, truly, truth. That's all he gives. Thayer says what is true in any matter under consideration. Truly, in truth, according to truth, of a truth, in reality, in fact, certainty. What is true or in things appropriate to God and the duties of man. Now, that I can understand. Because we find in the scripture John said this concerning Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. And if we just left it there, we can go in any direction that we want. But the very last three words should confirm what our attitude should be concerning the truth. Because Jesus says, your word is true. And who is he talking about? He's talking about God. He's telling God to sanctify them in the truth because your word is true. So anything that God says is the truth. Anything that he says, we should listen. Pilate asked Jesus this question in John 18:38. Pilate said to him, that's Jesus, what is truth? And then it says, after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. Now, evidently, Jesus did not elaborate. And he asked that question and he didn't get an answer. But he knew enough to go outside and say, I find no fault, no guilt in this person. Because what the Jews were saying was not true. He couldn't see that in this person, Jesus. Ephesians 1:13 tells us, in him, which is Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So what we see from this scripture is we see hearing the word of truth or hearing the word of God. The gospel is God's words which tell you how to be saved. And you have to believe in him, believe in all of those words that we find in the Bible, and do them, and then we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is the attitude that we should have concerning our attitude towards truth. So going back to that title again, the question is, what is your attitude about truth? How do you view the Bible truth? The word attitude suggests a mental position or a feeling, emotion towards a person, place, fact, theory, or thing. What you feel about those things determine what you are going to do. Our feeling should be every word that the Bible show us, every emotion we can find in the Bible should suggest that we believe everything there. Because if we don't believe everything within the Bible, we're asking for trouble. We need to remember that our attitudes are so important because they will determine our action. It will determine our character. And in light of what the Bible says, it will determine our destiny. If we have the wrong attitude. And so, I would like to share a few things that the Bible say. We want to look at what is the truth again, according to the Bible. And I said, as I said, the answer is, it's the Word of God. And everything that the Word of God say. Now, again, in John 17 and verse 17, Jesus says again, sanctify. Now we know that word sanctify is set apart to make pure from sin or guilt. In the truth, what the Bible teaches we are supposed to be thinking and doing, he then says, your word is true. For example, in Psalms 119:142, it says, your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. We know the law of God is true. Why? Because God said it. Would the God of heaven tell us a lie? If that was the case, why are we here if he lies? We are here because everything we know of the Bible, everything that we believe in the Bible is true. And the words that he tells us will keep us from going to hell. It will make us a better person. In Psalms 119, 151, "But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." So that leaves out anything we want to believe, because if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, if we believe the Bible comes from God, every commandment he gives us is true. And that means we should do it without any thinking. We should do it without saying, "Well, I don't feel like doing that today. I don't believe that is true." For us, the truth is very valuable. Why? Because the Bible says truth is essential to us going to heaven. And so we must develop the proper attitude about the truth. If your attitude is faulty, if your attitude is not the way God said it should be, you will not accept it, and you will not go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible also teaches in John 1 and 17, it says, "For the law was given through Moses." And we know that. We studied the Old Testament. But here is the great thing. It says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if we know Jesus, if we study Jesus, it's the grace that he gave to us to be saved. I've said this before, I've said it to many people. If at the time, because I believe I've changed a little, at the time, if I ruled the world, I mean, if anything I said, if I had that kind of power, everybody will have to do what I say. It's as simple as that. If I gave an order, if I gave a decree, and you did not do this, you would die. Because I have that power. But I learned I don't have that power. I can't get nobody to do what I want. But I've learned how to try to live with everyone. Because if you don't know how to live with everyone, it's going to be miserable. Because everybody has their way of thinking, their way of wanting something done. So you might as well try to learn how to do, as long as it's not going to be a detriment to your health. Learn how to get along. And the Bible teaches us that we are to do that. Because he says over and over and over to the Christian, love one another. He tells us how to react with the outside world. So listening to the Bible and the words it says, we have to become a new person. Now, I don't know about you. Prior to you being a Christian, maybe you were the people you are now. It liked everybody. Everything went fine and this, that, and the other. It wasn't that way with me. When I was in the world, you couldn't hurt me. If I didn't like you, I didn't like you. I would not be around you. But the Bible teaches us, the words of God, the words of truth says, when you are baptized, you are a new creature in Christ. And so what do we have to do? We have to love one another. We have to edify one another. We have to encourage one another. That is what the word of truth said. And if we deny that, then we are denying the words of God. James says this. In James chapter 1, starting with verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you, me, if we are an individual that do not believe in God, do not have the faith that he said we should, asking him for something, it ain't gonna work. But we also must understand the words of truth. Even if we ask, it may not be given at that time. But we are supposed to have the faith that God will provide. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So again, how do we become children of God? Through the gospel of Christ. Through the gospel of God. According to what he says. That's the Bible truth. The world truth wants to say, well, you can become a Christian by any other means. It doesn't make a difference. But the Bible says something different. A lost person must be begotten, and that is spiritually by the words of Christ. Without this, there cannot be a new birth. If you ask some people, how did you become a Christian? And you will be surprised at some of the stories that they will tell you. Now, most of you guys know this individual, Rufus, and we used to study quite frequently. And I asked him a question similar to this, and he says what he was told by people in charge, that he had to go home and he had to think about it and pray to God, and he says he went home and he had a dream. And when he went back to the people in charge, he told them about this dream. And they said, yep, that's God talking to you. And there's more to it, which is totally ridiculous. But this is what he was told he had to do before he could be baptized and to become a child of God. But that is not what we know. The Bible does not say anything remotely about that. The Bible tells us simply, if you hear the words of God, of Christ, and you believe them, then you are to repent. You ought to be baptized, and that puts you into the Lord. For example, I heard this on the news. It was an old tape that I had. and it was talking about Pope Paul. He made more saints than anybody else in the Catholic religion, the popes. But this is what one person said. The Bible says all are saints, but they're not canonized. Well, the Bible tells us if we are members of the Lord's body, we have many names in which we go by. Saints is one of them. Now, who are you going to believe? These people or the Bible? The Bible calls us a saint. The truth, it makes us free from sin. You know, prior to knowing God's view of sin, we had many views. And John 8 and 32 tells us this, and you will know the truth. How will you know the truth? Well, you got to get into the Bible. You have to study. You have to see what God says you are to do. And then he says, and the truth will set you free. After you read it, understand it, and says, I am going to do it, it sets you free from sin because you won't do it anymore. You won't continue to sin after you know that God says it is a sin. And that's what he means, the truth will set you free. In Romans 6, verses 17. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves, we were all once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Think about this. Whether you were born into a family that was already members of the body of Christ, or whether or not you first heard someone come and try to teach you the Bible. You heard if this person was teaching correctly that possibly we were slaves to sin, and they told us other things, and it possibly got us a little afraid that, yes, this is me. But now it says obedient from the heart. When we realize what they were saying and it was true, we were obedient from the heart to that standard of teaching that was given. And we became committed. And verse 18 said, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. That is what we all should be, slaves of righteousness. Whatever God say, we should say, I will do it, Lord. Because God is not going to give us faulty information. The truth will sanctify us and give us an inheritance. Again, we can never hear enough of John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. In Acts 20 and verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God is giving us freedom. What do we want? Well, the bottom line is we want that inheritance in heaven. How do we get it? By doing what he says. Can you imagine? An individual that wants to go to heaven, that is doing everything contrary to the Word of God. I mean, he's not doing anything according to God. Now, you know that when he dies, will he go to heaven? You know the answer to that? No. Because Jesus tells us with Lazarus and the rich man is that the rich man had everything in the world, but he wasn't doing what God had commanded him to do to his fellow Jews. And so when he died, he wound up in torment. And we can say his inheritance will be a place in which he never thought he would go. A place that God said was prepared for the devil and his angels. So he will have an inheritance in the lake of fire forever and ever. The word of truth, it saves us. James 1 and verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthy and rampant wickedness. Now, I was curious about this word rampant. I have an idea what filthiness is all about, but that word rampant means unrestrained aggression. Rampant wickedness, doing anything and everything that you want to do. But we're told by the word of truth, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. And if we don't do that, if we don't put those words that we have studied, that we have read, that we have believed in, if we don't put them in our hearts and live by them, we're not going to heaven. We are not going to heaven. Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And what I find really fascinating about this, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, because all we got to do is open up the Bible and read what it says. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wait for that little voice to tell us what to do. We can read it. Because it is the power of God for salvation. And we shouldn't be afraid when the opportunity comes to tell somebody about it. And if they believe, truly believe, they will become a child of God. Because the rest of the scripture says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Acts 11 and verse 14. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. Words. The words of Christ. Now, if you remember, that is Cornelius. And what it says there, a message by which you will be saved. But you got to believe it. You got to do it. And in this Bible, it tells us what we ought to do to be saved. In the book of Acts, is where all the conversions are. And if you study them and you look at what they say, first of all, you got to hear something. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The words of God. So if the words of God is taught, and there's that honest heart, he's going to hear those words, he's going to believe those words, and he's going to do other things if the heart is right. For example, the Ethiopian eunuch, would you say he had a dishonest heart? No, you can't say that. Because when Philip was teaching him, and as the Bible says, as they went down the road, he said, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? If the heart is right, they will respond. John 12, 47. This is one of my favorite passages. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has taught me. We talk about Jesus coming to the world. And he tells us why he came to this world. To teach people what to do to be saved. And he says, if you don't want to listen, that's fine. But just know that these words that I am speaking to you, that my apostles is speaking to you, the revelation that has been written down, it comes from the Father. And the Father says this, and if you don't listen, you will perish. The words of truth tells us that it will judge us in the last day. You remember 12:48 of John, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. And an interesting fact too, what the Bible teaches, guess who's going to be that person that's going to judge us? The one that said these. We're going to have to see Jesus. And we're going to have to answer to him. And basically, if the question is, why didn't you listen to what I said? What can you say? Well, I didn't believe he was real. I thought you was just another good old boy. You think that's going to go over well? I don't. Because he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Romans 2:16 says this, and it should be, and actually I think it do, because we are studying on when Christ returns. This should be a reminder. 2:16 says, on that day, think about it, there is a day coming when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men. There's going to come a day for all of us in which we are going to be judged according to the gospel. And we can't hide nothing by Christ. In closing, I want you to think about this. We're going to look at some scriptures that tells us what we should do. But I want to say this concerning those scriptures. It's not should do. I want to say we better do. Not we should do it. It's like I can do it if I want. No, we better do this. And that is, you and I should desire to know the truth. So that means we need to get in our Bible every day to study, what does it say? Because 1 Timothy 2:3 says this, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desire all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. We need to know what that knowledge of truth is. Because we are going to come in contact with people that have all kinds of views about the Bible. We need to know what it says so we can correct them. And hopefully they will have an honest heart and they will do what God says. So we have to know the knowledge of truth. John 8:32 again, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But it will only set you free if you want to follow every jot and tittle that Jesus gave to us. If you want to deviate from it, it's not going to set us free. 2 Timothy 2:15, we know this. But the last words, which I think is important, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We need to remember what Peter said concerning Paul. He said some things is difficult and people are twisting them to their own destructions. We need to know just what the word of God is saying to us. I like this particular scripture in 2 Timothy 3:7. It says, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of truth. There are people out there that they are willing to study, they're willing that they can quote better than us, but it says they are never going to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Because if they've been doing all of this studying, they should see the simple truth. But they keep arguing. They keep arguing and say, that's not right. That's not right. That's not what my pastor said. That's not. No. What does God say? Ephesians 3:2. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelations, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You may know this and you may not. On the news, they was talking about the candidates of for the Republican Party. And the one that has the head start that looks like he would be the Republican's candidate, he's a Mormon. And many people don't like Mormons. They don't like their religions. And religious people don't like their religions. What was brought up by the news media, and I had found this out early as a Christian, about some of the Mormons' belief. And it was somewhere in the 70s. Now, the reason why I say this is because when I wasn't a Christian, I was on alert, and this one, my assistant, he was being taught the Mormon religion. And it did change him somewhat from the way he was. And he told me, he says, "Cookie, in the Mormon religion, you cannot be a priest." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you're black." And I said, "You mean every other race of people can become a priest except black people?" He said, "Yeah." Now remember, I wasn't in the church. I was in the world. And I said things that the world said. But I said, "I tell you what." I said, "I don't know when, where, or how, but whoever the person was at the time was going to nudge his wife and say, the blacks are free. They can become priests." And this was brought out on TV about the Mormon religion that said blacks were allowed to become priest in their church in the 70s. Now you show me anywhere in the book of God where it excludes anyone because of color. But people flock to the Mormon religion. People flock to other religions. But you know, they don't seem to want to flock to the Lord's church. That's kind of strange. Because we try to teach the truth. Christ through the gospel. Acts 17 and 11. "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." We should love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 6 says, "And you know what is retaining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders." Verse 10. "And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." We should obey the truth. 1 Peter 1:22. "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that you were once slave to sin and have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And you tell us we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. So my question to you, what is your attitude towards the truth as revealed in the New Testament? Do you believe it? Or did you just think it's something else? But I have news for you. One last scripture. In Mark 8:38, Jesus says this, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." The truth teaches that we should never be ashamed of God. We should obey the words of God. I hope this lesson has been a benefit to you about the attitudes that we should have for the truth. And if your attitudes are not right, I pray that they will be right, that you will repent, and you will do all of those things that God says we must do. If you have any need of this congregation, we ask that you make it known as we stand.